over them in it. And let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a shew of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor and in the satisfying of the flesh. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Open our eyes to the truth of your word. Help us as we strive to know it and to practice it, to do it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we talked about being rooted in Christ, not rooted in church tradition, not rooted in different personalities and man-made expectations, but rooted in Christ, looking and following Christ. I just want to be a follower of Christ. That was the plea of the Restoration Movement. We wanted to do Bible things. We wanted to go back to the Bible, throw off the man-made religion, throw off all the things that man has added to it, and let's go back to the purity of the Word of God as it's given to us. Why not just focus on who Christ is, what Christ did, and Christ be just enough? Paul says here in verse 6, he says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Paul's saying, you learn Christ, follow after Christ. Follow, continue to live after Christ. I want you to go back to Galatians real quick. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul writes to the Galatians. He says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed and crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? And does he who provokes you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He goes back to them. There was a simplicity that was preached to them of the gospel. And then some others would come behind after they had heard the pure gospel of Jesus Christ and the simplicity of the gospel, the freedom that comes from now coming into Christ, being broken from the law of bondage. And now you have this freedom in Christ. And he's saying there were some, the Judaizers, who would come in and say, well, we got to put those restrictions back on you. You're free, but you ain't that free. We got to go back to the old system and still bring that old system and put those restraints back on you. He didn't really free you completely from it. And Paul's going back and saying, well, when we brought you this gospel, we brought you the simplicity of a gospel. We didn't tell you anything about those old rules and all that the Judaizers are still stuck in, because that's a system they were coming up out of. He said, when we brought it to you, we didn't even bring you all of those entanglements and all those things. Why is it now that wasn't good enough? Why would you let someone else come in and pervert the truth? Christ is enough. That's what we shared last week. Christ is enough. We don't need man-made traditions and all that. Christ is enough. I don't need this point of view and all. We don't need mysticism. Christ is enough. We don't need tarot cards. Christ is enough. And the focus is getting back to Jesus in Jesus Christ and keeping it right there. See, religion tries to climb up to God and say, look, God, look at how good I am and present myself up to you. But the gospel reaches down to man, recognizing that we're not sufficient. We're not in ourselves able to measure up to God. And so God gives us a system where he comes down. That's why Jesus has to step down out of heaven to come down into this world. He comes to give us something that we, in our own efforts, we can't measure up and we can't reach up to God. But he comes to us, and he steps down looking at our needs. And I want you to realize that the Colossians, they were bombarded. They had so many different thoughts and theologies and thinkings and all of that and philosophies. And you know, the Greek gods, it wasn't one god. There are many, many gods, Greek philosophies. Then you mix in there Jewish legalism and still trying to hold to the old law. And then you have mysticism, and he talks about angel worship. We see all these different things attacking the mind of the Christian, attacking those that Paul is talking to in Colossae. There's really not much different even today, is there? I mean, we have the purity of the gospel, and then you have this way of doing it and that way of doing it. I mean, when I remember growing up, I was so confused. I was so confused. You know, I would go to one church, and they'd tell me I needed to get hit by the Spirit so much that I'm starting to speak in tongues, and now that's proof that you're saved. I go to another church, and they tell me all I got to do is just accept him in my heart. And I remember going to this church over and over again. It seemed like each week I had to get up again when, you know, before the church again, because it feel like it didn't take last week. Because I done sinned again, so I guess I better get up there again and say my prayer again. Right? And you got all these different things, and some you got to do certain rituals as a baby, and in others you got to take a certain class, and then after you take the class and all that. See, what I want to do is, what did they do? I want to go back to the Word of God. What did the disciples do? What did they teach? And let's go back once again to the purity, go back to the source. Not all this filter, you know, we get the stuff after it's been going through a whole bunch of stuff. You want the cleanest water? Go back, go to the source of where it's coming from, right out the spring, and drink from there. And so that's our focus. That's the focus of this congregation. That's my focus. That's the restoration focus. Go back to the Word of God and study it and be what it says. That was last week's stuff. I said I was going to. I did it again. All right. Well, I already kind of talked about that, so I ain't going to go through all that. Let's go right here. Let's go to where it is. Paul brings us back. Paul brings us back to a transformational moment in our lives. He says, "In whom also you are circumcised, the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are raised with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead." Paul's here looking and using this imagery of a surgery that's going on. In the old covenant, obviously, the circumcision that was made with hands, the doctor, or, you know, they would have to cut away of the foreskin and all that. I don't want to get too graphic here, but y'all understand. There was some surgery that went on. And he's saying that like that, baptism is like that. In baptism, there's a cutting away. There's something that's happening. There's a putting away of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In baptism, we're buried with him in baptism, wherein also we're raised with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. God is doing something in baptism. He's cutting something away. When we go down in that water grave of baptism, he does a washing away. He does a cutting away. He cuts this body and removes us now from the body of sin. And now when we come and we rise, Romans 6 tells us we rise and walk in newness of life. Why? Because he's done something with that old man. That old man was crucified. He was buried with him, and he did this operation in baptism. That's why it's important for us once again to stress this. You got to get in the right way. If I want to be on the team, I got to get in the right way. If I want to be in a club, I've got to get in the right way. If I want to be in the race, I've got to qualify the right way. And so if we want to be in Christ, we can only get in one way. We have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ in baptism. Why is that? Well, it's telling you right here. This baptism is where he cuts away this body of sin. This baptism is where he makes this transformation. This baptism is where we replicate. And what we do is we take the same act that Jesus did. I mean, he did it in a physical sense. We do it in a spiritual sense. He dies. He was buried. And he rose. He died on that cross. He was buried in the grave. In that grave, something changed. Something happened. When they rolled away the stone and they looked in there, he was no longer there. The physical became spiritual. And in our baptism, the same thing happens. We die in our sins. We die in baptism. We buried in the water grave of baptism. In that baptism, he's washing away. He's cleansing us. He's doing an operation and cutting away, cutting that body of sin away from us. And now as we rise, as you uncover the stone of this new life, you rise to walk in the new life. There's been a transformation that's been made in baptism. And so Paul points us back to this important and pivotal moment in the Christian's life. And then he says, and you being dead in your sins and your uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven all of your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, spoiled the principalities and powers, and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. He says, this old law, this old system and all that, that you, first of all, I want you to understand something about yourselves. You were dead in your sins and trespasses. You couldn't clean yourself up nice enough to be able to present yourself before God and say, look how good I am. You're dead in your sins and trespasses. You're a corpse before God. And he's saying, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of flesh, he has quickened you together with him. He's taken this unholy thing and now made it holy. He's taken this stench, this rotting corpse right now, and he's breathed life into it and made it and transformed it, and now has quickened it together with him. You've been united with Christ. He's brought us into relationship with God. And it says he blots out the handwriting and the ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us. He takes it away, nailing it to the cross. There's a system that just told you how much of a debtor you are, how many mistakes you made, that constantly was sharing and telling us our faults and how unable we were to be able to stand before God. But Jesus, it says he came out and he blotted out the handwriting, those ordinances that were against us, that were contrary to us. And he nails it to the cross. And I want you to see this beautiful thing. It says in verse 15, he disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them. In other words, he's showing victory in what he accomplished at the cross. He stripped Satan of his power and silenced condemnation, crushed death's authority. We're now fighting from a point of victory. You know, when you read the book of Revelation, when we get to the end of the book, we know who wins. We're winners. You're going through some troubles and trials and all that. Know that you already won. There are sometimes, it hasn't been the last few weeks, but there are sometimes I record the video, the football game. Sometimes I record the football game, and later on I learned, because I couldn't get to the game because we were doing something in church or whatever. So I record, and I try not to get the outcome of it beforehand, but it usually doesn't work. Someone, did you see the game? They lost or they won, or they see, if I see a smile, I know one thing. If I see a frown, their speech betrayeth them. So when they win, it hasn't been the last few weeks. When they win and that happens, I'm going home going, I still want to watch the game. I still want to see my team, right? So I'm sitting down but I'm sitting down with ease. I go, Jalen threw another interception. Ooh. They down 33-3. But do you understand that I'm sitting with some ease while I'm watching the game? Because I already know the outcome. Yeah, there's some scary moments and that look bad and all that, but I know the outcome already. We know we're victorious already. We've got that vantage point. We've got that we are victorious already. So even whatever we're going through in life, we're already victorious. I figured I'd drop that while we were flying by there. He gets to this. Now, because of what Jesus did, because Jesus came and not that he took away the law, he came to fulfill the law. He's the fulfillment of the law. The law had been waiting for him. There was a system that had been waiting for Jesus that's dependent on Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross. If no Jesus, no salvation. And so we've been dependent upon that. And now it says, because of what Jesus did, let no one judge you in food or in meat or in drink, in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are shadows of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The reality is Christ. The real thing is Christ. The focus is Christ. But what other people would put the focus on is other things. He's saying now, you're not bound to the dietary laws of the Old Testament. You can have your catfish. Somebody said amen. But there were some that would say, well, hold on. If you're going to be a Christian, you got to give up those things. As a matter of fact, if you're going to be a real Christian, a real Christian, and to get deep with God, you would do that. You would follow these holy days. You would act in this way and that way. You fill in your favorites. And Paul's saying, no. First of all, that's not what saved you. That won't keep you saved either. If it didn't save you, it won't keep you saved. And unfortunately, a lot of times what happens is, you know what? I'm going to let this scripture say it. Which are a shadow, verse 17, a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. He says, no, let no man beguile you of your reward. Don't let them fool you, trick you out of your blessing of being in Christ. The freedoms that are in Christ. Don't let someone trick you from that. He came and he died for a purpose. Intruding into those things which he have not seen. Hold on. I'm rushing. Let no man beguile of your reward in the voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Intruding into those things which they have not seen. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. You see, there were some that would do these things to puff themselves up. They talk this spiritual dialogue that the average man can't even understand. I've seen it. I've seen preachers and leaders and all that that have great speech and oratorical skills and great charisma, but led people in the wrong way. Would lead people with all the gifts that God had given to them, would lead people away from Christ and oftentimes towards self. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful following someone that all they do is bombard you with rules, rules, many of which they won't even keep themselves. But will continue to put rule after rule after rule after rule. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And the focus isn't on Christ, it's about more rules. Some of us have lived through some of that before. Don't let them rob you. How can I let them rob you? Focus on the Lord. Once again, on last week, we talked about having that Berean spirit. You know, you've got to learn to eat. You've got to learn to look at the Word of God, to go back to the source for yourself, to have a mind that's not controlled by what everyone else is doing, what everyone else is saying. I was telling somebody, even this morning, I would be horrible at politics. I can't just go by what everyone is doing, everyone is saying. If God has given me a conviction, that's what it is. And that's what we got to preach and teach. And if it's wrong, let's share. Let's share with one another and all that and all that. But if I'm convicted to it, I'm going to preach and teach it. If it go with the politics of the day, so be it. And if it don't, so be it. I preach for the Lord, for one audience. And we've got to recognize that God wants us to you know, I share with you that the reason this whole sermon came about is I just keep seeing people being lulled and pulled away from the simplicity of Christ, being pulled into some other things. Christianity and tarot cards have no business together. There are systems in this world and all that, and once again, I love people. I love all people. I don't care what race and religion and gender and all that. But I've got to stick to the Word of God. God's thing for marriage is one man, one woman, one lifetime. That is our ideal. I know sin breaks those things, but that's what we're going to preach and teach. That's what we're going to try to uphold and all that. And I know that there are exceptions and all these types of things, but I still want to preach. This is the standard. Here's what we need to shoot for at all times. We need to hold Christ up and continue to hold Christ up. And whether culture likes it or not, we hold Christ up. Whether the denominational brethren like it or not, we hold Christ up. Whether the world likes it or not, we hold Christ up. Man, it has worked. It has blessed my life. It sustains me. And we can just keep it real. I don't want to do things just because the Church of Christ Brethren said so. I want to do it because Christ says so. Amen. I don't want to do stuff because the Republicans say so, or because the Democrats say so, or because I want to do it because this is what Christ would say. I want to focus on Christ. My King is Christ the King. Amen. All right. I told you I'm going to give you some time back. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to its ordinances? Don't touch, taste not, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all things to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Notice that. There are commandments and doctrines of men that are telling you and giving you all of these different restrictions. Things that not restrictions that God said. Right? Sometimes we go beyond what God says. And you know, sometimes our interpretations. I'm gonna get myself out there again. Let me I'm gonna keep it right here. I already see my mind getting ready to go. But instead of focusing on commandments and doctrines of men, once again, let's get back to Christ. The things of God, look at what it says in verse 23, which things have endued a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body and not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. In other words, there's a lot of things that sound good and sound spiritual and sound and all that, but once again, we want to get and stay rooted in Christ, build up in him, established in him, growing in Christ. If we're planted in the wrong place, we're going to produce the wrong fruit. I want to be planted in Christ. I want to just be a Christian. I want to live for Jesus. I want to die in Jesus. I want to stay in Jesus forever, because we're going to reign with Jesus. Amen. And I want to take as many of you with me as possible. All right. Amen. Amen. And so let's get ready. Let's get ready for that. I want to just leave you this last thing. You know that in the Bible, they weren't, verses didn't just stop. You know, these verses were added for our benefit, for us to be able to reference easily the Word of God. But the theme continues into chapter 3. Now, I just want to leave you with this last statement that he makes in chapter 3. Because then he says, then if you have then been raised up with Christ. So he's making an assumption the audience he's talking to have been those that are in Christ and now raised up in Christ. He says, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. It's like that's the crescendo. That's the climactic moment. That's what we're getting it all to. Stay focused on him. If you're raised up in him, if you're in Christ, our focus needs to be on Christ. If you've been saved by Jesus Christ, our focus needs to be on him, his word. And of course, you know, when I say Christ, his doctrine, his teaching that comes through the apostles as well. I'm not singling only out the words of Jesus Christ, but of course it carried through his disciples. Maybe there's someone here today, and maybe you recognize that you need to be in Christ. That it's time for you now to get this relationship as that we already spoke about earlier, that having that circumcision that happens, allowing him to cut away this body of sin. See, sin separates us from God. Sin will cause us at the end, us as I've been sharing practically through this whole message, our works are never good enough. We're never going to be able to measure up before God with our own works. Isaiah says that our very best is as filthy rags. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. So the best that we can measure up is filth. We already saw that we were dead. We're dead in our sins and trespasses. So we needed Jesus to come and to give us life. We needed someone else to do an operation on us. When you're dead and on the operating table, you can't help yourself. Someone else has to come beside you to help you. Well, that's what Jesus did. He saw us when we were dead in our sins and our trespasses. He recognized our need, and Jesus stepped out of heaven, stepped down into this world in order to come to die on a cruel cross of Calvary for us. He made payment for sin. Sin always demanded payment. Always demanded payment. There was a blood payment that needed to be satisfied. And he came and he took it. He was sacrificed and went to that cross. Nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorns on his head. He came, he died, he bled, he sacrificed, he gave it all for us. He did what we could not do. He measured up in a way we can never measure up in and of ourselves. And then he gives us this blessing, this gift of salvation to us who trust in him, who put our lives in his hands, who decide to surrender all in order to follow after him. No, I'm not talking about an easy just accept Jesus Christ into your heart and all that. I'm saying to make a change. I'm saying that to come to a point, a pivot point in your life where this is going to be transformational. I'm going to decide, like the song says, to surrender all, to give it all up in order to follow him. Jesus called his disciples and he told them, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But they had to leave stuff behind for him to make them into what he would make them into. Christ wants to do a work in your life. He wants to transform you. Are you ready to receive him? Are you ready to throw your hand in the air and surrender to Jesus Christ even this morning? Are you ready to put him on in baptism? In baptism to reenact what he did. He died on the cross. He was buried in that watery grave. He rose Are you ready to die to your sins, be buried in the water grave of baptism, and rise to walk in newness of life? If you're ready to do that, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation? All to Jesus.